Thursday, Disney announced that it had bought the 50 million shares and Goldman Sachs had bought the remaining 85 million at $15 a share, well below the market price, enabling the Basses to realize proceeds of about $2 billion. Disney spent $750 million on the buyback, most of the $1 billion it had just raised in the debt offering. Once trading resumed, Disney shares dropped another 16%, then rebounded to close at just under $17 a share. Loyal to the end, a spokesman for the Basses stressed that they have a deep and abiding confidence in Eisner and in the future of Disney. The sale was a huge embarrassment for the Basses, puncturing their carefully cultivated reputation for financial acumen. Sid Bass had proven no more immune to the seduction of the technology bubble than had millions of less sophisticated investors. Such a failure of judgment, of course, raised inevitable questions about his unwavering support for Eisner. For Eisner, the most important relationship in his corporate life was irrevocably changed. Although the Bass spokesman said the sale left the brothers with a cumulative stake in Disney of approximately 4%, or just under 100 million shares, it was no longer anywhere near enough to constitute a controlling stake. Overnight, Sid Bass ceased to be relevant to either Eisner or Disney's future. The years Eisner had spent cultivating his relationship with Sid Bass had yielded an all but unassailable grip on the chief executive position. In 24 hours, it was gone. Disney's acquisition of the Family Channel closed on October 24, 2001, at a price of $5.2 billion, a mere $100 million off the price agreed to the previous July. Gold was incensed, convinced he could have driven a much tougher bargain after September 11th. Now that Disney owned the Family Channel, critical decisions had to be made about what to do with it. Would it be part of the cable network group under Ann Sweeney, which included all the cable channels except the ESPN brands? Or, given that the strategy for the new channel was to repurpose programming from ABC, should it be part of the ABC network division? Though arguments could be made for both alternatives, and Iger wanted it in the cable group, Eisner assigned the Family Channel to Bornstein in his capacity as president of ABC Incorporated. It didn't take Bornstein long to realize that he'd been dealt another losing hand. The plight of the Family Channel was dire. 60% of the so-called carriage agreements, in which cable operators agreed to carry the channel, had expired or were about to. Because of a change in ownership of the channel, some had the option to cancel. Cable operators were paying Family, on average, 17 cents per subscriber to carry the channel. Disney's pro formas for the channel had projected nearly immediate increases to 20 cents, but now operators were threatening to drop the channel entirely. And in return for carrying it, they were asking for discounts on the fees they paid for ESPN and the Disney Channel. The leverage was supposed to work the other way. To keep ESPN and other Disney-owned channels, cable operators were expected to cough up more for Family. Things got so desperate that Disney had to ask televangelist Pat Robertson to lobby some carriers, such as EchoStar Communications, after the satellite broadcast.